So we are finishing this journey of how we limit God. And the first thing I want you guys to be aware of, that God does speak to me and reveals these things. And when I come preparing his word to give to you guys, please understand, I am not judging any single person here, because who goes through this first? I do, right? Isn't that a fun time? Isn't it the best? When you guys get this just for this, like, and today's probably not going to be long, so I'm expecting maybe 25 minutes maybe. We'll see what God wants to do afterwards, but that's cool. But you only have to deal with this for this little period of time. I've been dealing with this all week. And this particular one I've been dealing with for 2 weeks. Because last week's was kind of like the intermediary between the first one and this one. So I'm like, okay, Lord, thanks. But when we were talking about this in the very beginning about limiting God, we mentioned a word. That word was dunamis, right? And dunamis is what?
Power.
But it's also potential, right? So in each and every single one of us who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, hands for people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, how you got your spirit language? You use it often? You should. Why not? Right? God gave you a spirit language. Use it. Use it. All the time. If you don't know what to say, that's what that's for. Amen? God tells you what to say? Great, then say it. Everything else in between? Spirit language. That's it. If that's what you're sound like, sure. So we know that we have the power of God in us. That's potential, right? And the dunamis power of God is when that potential manifests. Yes? That manifestation of power only happens if we agree that God has imbued us with that power, and then wants to use that power and release it through you. He wants to use each and every one of you. I am not the only one. And I'm going to give you guys the newsflash. Coming in. Yes. I'm sorry, I sent Morse code by accident. Please don't get angry with me and correct me. Okay. But he wants to use you all also. So stop limiting what you can do by believing that you are only able to do X. Or I can only do this much. Or I can only do this much on this day. Or I can only do this much between the hours of 1 and 3. And a half hour break in between. So between 1 and 2:30, and then from 2:30 to 3. That's it. Because I need me time. This is what I mean by we limit God. We don't think we do, because we love God and we love his presence and we love to be used by God. But the limitation of what we have done by putting ourselves so scheduled out, or not agreeing with God that he can do all things, and we just restrict him in what he can do, we then put ourselves in a very precarious situation where the testimony that we're supposed to share all the time is limited to the little experience that we've given ourselves room for by limiting how much time we have with God. Do you hear what I'm saying? So again, I'm not saying this to you, because I've already been the one having to deal with that myself. You're not alone. So the question that I ask for you today then comes with a very, very awesome point. Why does the power of God only get limited to a building that has a cross on it? Why does the power of God only get limited to the building with a cross on it? We don't have a cross on our building. Why does that happen? The problem now we see is that this is actually something that the world believes and uses this very thing against us. Because the world turns around and goes, you're safer as long as you're inside that building. Don't come out here, because we don't want none of that out there. You guys can just keep your hocus pocus Jesus craft inside your building, right? How would the world respond if the real church, which is not the building, by the way, right? Who's the church? We are, right? Last time I checked, we are not concealed to just this building, right? Because, I mean, I sincerely hope that when service is concluded, y'all aren't just camping here and pitching tents. I mean, you can if you want. We'll have to pay a higher bill for the, you know, thermostat and electric. There's no working stove in here, so I don't know what you're going to eat. Run out of cereal eventually. All right? But the reality of it is that you all are going to get in your vehicles and you are all going to disperse and leave this place. My point to this is then, where are you going? And why is it that the power of God can only be used here and not where you go? Because last time I checked, you're the church. So wherever you go is holy ground. Wherever your feet touch, that place is now ready to receive the presence of God, because the presence of God has already gone before you. Are you understanding that where you go, God is already there? And he's waiting for you to show up, ready to be used to have that power come out. This is what we have. But we do have a bigger problem, because guess what? Not only is that not happening out there, but it's not even happening in the churches now with the crosses. Because so much of the world has come into the church and has basically treated the church as it's very much a stereotypical building of people who claim things and say things and talk about a good story and read this book and do absolutely nothing with it, but sing kumbaya around a campfire and go on their merry ways and pretend like everything is great in the world as they suffer just like everybody else in the world does. You can't tell the believers from the non-believers. So let me ask some more questions. Did God stop? Has he stopped? No. Proof is in the pudding, right? Did we stop seeking him? I'll let that one sit there for a little bit. Did we stop worshiping him? Did we ever think that none of those things are true? God didn't stop. He's still going. We're still seeking him. We're still worshiping him. And there are other churches like us who are doing all of these things. Here's the problem. Did we ever think that God is moving and we aren't? Thank you for bringing that up, by the way. The river of God is moving, and instead of getting in and going for a tube ride down the river of God, how many people like a lazy river? How many people have enjoyed that? That is just relaxation on steroids, right? But what we are doing is we are just putting our foot in, getting the experience of God at that moment, and then stepping out, and that's it. And then we come back on Sunday, and we dip our toe in the water again, and then we come back out. Do you see the problem here? Where have I planted my foot? I haven't moved. I have not physically moved my position. I'm still seeking God. I'm still worshiping him in spirit and truth, because I'm in the water, right? I'm still there. Where'd God go? He's gone. He's flowing. But I'm still standing. And I have not moved. The church, the people of God, need to jump in the river. And stop standing on dry land, wanting more of God. Wanting to move in the things of God when you don't even want to move to where God's moving. We have to stop limiting God and how he has moved and where he is going and where he wants to go and think that he doesn't want to go outside of these four walls. Church, he is crying out to go into the highways and byways. He wants to be proclaimed all around the world, not just here. And just for some food for thought, there's this guy named Moses. Does anybody know this dude Moses? Okay. All right. I didn't know the man personally. I read about him in the book. And I hear that he had these people that were so stubborn and complained endlessly about every single thing known to mankind, though God promised, right, that he would take them to the promised land, right? How did God take them through the wilderness? Did he just let them wander? No. He didn't let them wander. That was later. He led them by day and by night. He went before them and they followed God. They did not stay still unless God stopped. And then when God moved, they packed up everything and followed him. They were not stationary people. They complained a lot. But they still moved. Church, you hear what I'm saying? You can complain all day long about what God wants you to do. I'm not asking for you to stop that. But I am asking for you to move. You can move. Not only did Moses do this with God, but so did Jesus. Because Jesus, did he just stay put? He went from city to city to city. And even when he was there in the city, he went from town to town to town. Everywhere he went. And the multitudes followed him. Everywhere he went. What then is our problem? How many people were moving? Why aren't you moving? What do you think is the number one reason you don't move? Lazy? Fear? Unbelief? Stars to this too, please. There is fear in darkness. And what happens is you don't realize you're in darkness because you're so afraid. You cover your eyes. And it's really hard to walk with your eyes closed. So what do? I'm just going to stay here. It's safer. I don't know if I'm going to bump into somebody. They're going to think I'm weird. Turn with me to Joshua 1:9. Hear what the Lord is saying. Have I not commanded you? He lovingly commands us. He gracefully commands us and leads us. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. He didn't suggest that. He told you, do not be afraid. Or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Say that. The Lord is with me wherever I go. Come on. Add it to your faith. Amen. The Lord is with you wherever you go. Now I want you to take some history here, because this is Joshua, and God is speaking to Joshua directly, right? Here? This is God giving Joshua direction. He's speaking to him directly. Do you know that this is right after my boy Moses kicked the bucket? You guys know that? Now, prior to Moses going, Moses grabs Joshua and he says, these same exact words to Joshua that God said to Moses. And he tells him, I'm not going to be around much longer. Here, Josh, I'm handing this over to you. You're responsible. But be strong and of good courage. Don't fear. Why is Moses telling him that? Not just because God's telling him to say that, but also because he himself had to deal with that. Did he not? How many people would be freaked out if a bush caught on fire and started talking to you? Think about that. Just saying. All right? But what is the fear part? Because this is interesting. Joshua's being told this. What's there to fear? Did he not watch God do all these things too? Did he not see God move mightily in spite of a people that were rebellious and complained and moaned and groaned, and they were going to the promised land? And now mind you, what's really interesting is at this very moment when Joshua's getting this, do you know where they are? Did anybody read about where they are? Where are they? They're right on the cusp. They're right on the cusp. They could see the land that God has promised to them. But they also see who's in front of them. And they know that's territory that's going to be a battle coming up. What are they going to do? Complain, moan, groan. I want to tell you that what Joshua is being told by God to be strong, be of good courage, do not fear or be afraid and not be dismayed has nothing to do with believing that God had led them here, that God would take care of their enemies, and that God would get them into the promised land. He wasn't afraid of that. Where was the fear coming from? Same place it's coming from today. All those people who are surrounding you and spewing doubt, worry, anxiety, depression, telling you, oh, you just need more medicine. Oh, you just need this. Oh, you just need that. God's not going to take care of you. God's not going to do this. God's not. Did you know that's what the people were saying? The whole, that groaning and complaining wasn't them going, oh, my aching feet and oh, my back. You like my Jewish accent? Yeah. That's not what they were doing. Okay? That was not what they were doing. They were going, oh, God's gonna kill us. Oh, we're gonna die. He doesn't love us anymore. He's taking us here to be slain by the Amalekites. That's what they're saying. They believe that God hates them and that he is leading Joshua to bring them to their death. Put yourself in that pool for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours on ending. You believe God can take them out. They don't. Do you think that's not going to creep into your ear? Do you think that's not going to spread doubt into you? This is what God was telling him. Deuteronomy 31, verses 3 through 8. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. This is the promise. Remember I told you? He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites and their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Oh, this is... Yep. Be strong. Remember I told you? Not the first time Josh heard it. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in sight of all Israel, now Moses is saying it, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Did you hear that? Do not fear or be dismayed. Not once, not twice, not three times, four times Joshua is being told. How many times do you need to be told to stop fearing God and stop doubting that God can use you? Because as many times as you need to hear it, God's going to tell you. Until you move. Are you going to hear what he has to say? And this was given in line with a very strong condemnation against God's people. Did you hear that? God's not happy with the complainers and the bellyachers either. But who's going to deal with them? Not Joshua's problem, right? That's what God was basically saying. They're my problem. They're not your problem. Your job is to move. Go where I have sent you. I am already going before you. I am preparing that land for you. Go. Now, add on to this though, however, this one little caveat that Joshua has been walking with this guy Moses, right? And Moses is a pretty cool dude, right? Right? He didn't do it all right, but he didn't do terrible, right? But guess who didn't get to go? Moses. His predecessor wasn't worthy. Oh. That would be like me taking the reins over from this ministry and looking at him and going, he isn't deemed worthy. I better watch my back. Right? I'm going to be like, whoa, this thing got real, real fast now, didn't it? The fear that Joshua was being warned against to be strong and of good courage and not to fear or be dismayed was not a fear of something, of some substance, of some person or entity or God himself. It was not that fear. It was the fear of influence. Not the sphere of influence, the fear of influence. That the people around him would eventually get to him. That the naysayers would win. That the doubters would win. That their voices, their cries were louder than mine and God's will. And that what God wanted to do. And that how many people have been here that believed that God wants to do something great and awesome and you believe it, but then there's somebody who says, nope, God doesn't going to do that. And then you go, oh, maybe he's not. Gone. You just let the devil steal it right out from underneath you. The fear and the doubt and the naysayers is not anything compared to what God can do. But if you agree with them, then you don't agree with God. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. What does that mean, church? It's a walk, right? So let's start with the first part, right? That means you're moving. They are too, but they're moving further and further away from God. You're not supposed to be moving in that direction. So if you walk like them and you talk like them and you act like them, guess who's not going to get used by God? You. Because you're not walking where God is. You're not walking towards the things of God. You're not walking with him. You're not walking to the place he's called you to go and has prepared for you to be used of him with that dunamis power. Instead, what's going to happen is you're just going to go and do literally nothing and be ineffective for the kingdom of God. And where does this exist? This is what's key. It's not something that you are thinking about by nature, but it's the futility of your mind. It's the lack of belief. Remember, unbelief was said. Remember, I said, give him a star. That's what's going on. The doubters, the naysayers, those individuals have creeped into your mind and have created a limitation that God can't in your brain. And so the war and the battle of attrition has started. You won't move because you don't believe you can, because you're not worthy. But you are worthy. When we allow fear to grip us, we surrender to darkness and isolation. When we walk like the world, we walk where they walk, and we go according to our mind. We go to what we understand and comprehend. This deception lets us believe that we are going where God wants us to go, only to find we weren't moving at all. You haven't actually even moved. Think about this. What does the world want you to do now? Where does the world want you? In front of a computer. Watching things that gratify your flesh. Wants you glued to a television. Doing things that produce no fruit. That impact zero lives. Or they want you in your echo chambers, where you go to work from your computer. Even your sphere of influence. Let me tell you, this demonic, satanic movement of work from home needs to stop. Amen, church? Because you have been robbed of your ability to have community. You've been robbed of your ability to testify of the things God has done to the people that need to hear it. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, it feels great. It's wonderful. Look, I think there's a place for it. If you're on maternity leave, but you don't want to be robbed of your paycheck, but you can do some of the things from home as long as you're near a bathroom, because you got, you know, the bleh, bleh, bleh. Right? Did you have that? No? Praise God. Amen. That you didn't have the morning sickness stuff? Like, you did it four times. You only did it twice. No. I'm saying when you're on maternity leave. Like, you know how you get the maternity leave before and then after? You know what I mean? You get that time before. Like, if you're still dealing with stuff and you need that time home, look, wouldn't that have been nice to be able to work from home? Wouldn't it have been nice to work from home, you know, while you're going through that process? I think there's a place for it. And I think it belongs to you guys. That's fantastic. But you know what I don't think it belongs to? Guys who need to be in the presence of other men so that you can share what God is doing with them in their lives, with their marriages, helping these men who are frivolous males now, who are walking around with women thinking that they're great, then they have that woman and then break their hearts because they're caught cheating with other women. And marriages are being destroyed left and right. When you got a man of God who loves his wife, honors the covenant of marriage, and stands for it day in and day out, and stands as a witness and a testimony how God redeems his marriage every single day. But you don't have that influence anymore because you've been put in front of a computer in your home. Where's your community? Where's your sphere of influence going? See what the devil's doing? And it looks and it sounds great. But in reality, all it does is it just coddles you. And it isolates you and it keeps you from moving. So I want you guys to answer this question. You can answer audibly. How does one measure growth? How do you measure growth? Tape measure. Fruit. See, the first thing that came to my mind is kind of along what Ed just said. Because parents who have kids maybe have this one wall in their house that they go ahead and they height check them and then put their date and their age, right? Do you have that wall? Did you have that wall in your old place? You did? Yeah, see you go. Do you have a wall in your house for it? There you go. And so what happens is, and this is cool, right? Because kids want to know they're growing, right? They get really excited that they grew an inch. They get super happy about that. They're like, oh my gosh, I grew a whole inch. Like, you got many more coming. Just wait. But you put that little tick mark where their head is and you see how they're growing, right? this is not how you measure growth. It seems like it's the way we measure growth, but it's not. That's measuring height. If we're going to be honest, right? This height. How tall are you, sir? 6 foot even. Did you get your height measured recently? Have you started shrinking? It starts happening. Okay? You can't use yourself as a 2 meter stick. So it's going to go away soon. All right? But to believe this lie that that's how you measure growth gets us on this track or trend of that's what growth looks like. Some people even say, oh, I measure growth by maturity, right? Fruit. Believe it or not, real growth is measured differently. And this is what the Lord showed me. It's measured in stages. And we actually do this as a culture. We measure the growth in our children, not by how tall they're getting, but we actually measure it in stages. The first stage is the toddler stage. And you measure them by how they are crawling. Not yet. They're crawling. They're just crawling, right? They're crawling, okay? 1 year, they start getting their feet underneath them, and they start doing this. And then they fall. And then they fall. Right? Then eventually they'll start cruising, which is when they start grabbing furniture and start using that to move themselves around a little bit. That's in between. Right? But then you get to adolescent. 5 to 8. That's when they're jumping off the walls. And I mean that literally. I've seen some 5-8-year-olds literally springboard off of a couch, off of the wall, backflip down, run over, hit a trampoline, do it on the other wall, bouncing off. I'm like, man, they literally are jumping off of the walls at this stage, right? Teen, 13, 16, in between that ages, this is where they start trekking. They get a bike, skateboard, something. Man, they can go far now. They get lost occasionally. 18 to 21, young adult stage, call this the traveling stage. This is where they get that cool thing called a license. And if they're lucky, they get a car. And then you don't see them. Like, they're literally like, where are you? You have to text me and tell me where you are. If you don't call me by this time, I'm worrying. Please call me and let me know where you are. Stage, right? But did you notice how you're measuring the growth in those stages? You're measuring of how far they can move. You're seeing the progression of their movement and where they can move and how far they can go. Do you know that's not something you and I designed? Do you know that He designed that? That as your age grows, so does your ability to move further and further and further. Not away from Him, but your realm of influence has greatly increased. So imagine how far the gospel of Jesus Christ can go if we would understand that the growth that He has given us is in our ability to move, not how tall we've gotten, not how old we've gotten. Church, the world is waiting for you to move. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We know that one. We know this whole verse, right? Right? Everybody knows this one. And you shall be witnesses to me. To who? Me? Me, no. Me, not Gary. Me, Jesus, right? Me, Jesus. Be witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We love this scripture, right? We love the scripture because we've used this here in Williamstown, because we've found that on the map of Williamstown, if you actually find exactly dead center of Williamstown, you know where you're at? You're in this church. Probably right here. Okay? It's facts. And so what we've translated this scripture into is basically Jerusalem, is here. Judea is Sicklerville, Berlin, Samaria, Philly, Delaware, New York. That's our spheres, right? Those are our surrounding areas. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever been to Israel? You went, right? No? You want to go? Take me with you when you go, please? Awesome. Has anybody ever been to Israel? No? Okay. If you're not familiar, Israel, coastal, right? Does anybody know what coast Israel is on? Come on, guys. Okay, look on a map. You can find it. All right? You should. But the Jerusalem city is in Israel, right? It is right on a border of a state known as Palestine that believes that Israel belongs to it, not to Israel. Or Jerusalem, sorry. That Jerusalem belongs to Palestine, not to Israel. But it is in Israel, and it belongs to Israel. And here's some interesting facts. The old city of Jerusalem was half a square mile. Not very big, is it? Half a square mile. Still a city, but not a very big city. The old city still exists. It's actually quarters. They actually segmented it into the quarters of the different religious sects that exist in that area. So Christianity, Judaism. Believe it or not, there's Islamic. That all exist in this area. That city has grown to 49 square miles. This is little over a third of Philadelphia. Anybody been to Philly? Pretty big city, yes? Not as big as New York City, but still pretty big city. A third of the city. Okay, how are you going to influence a third of the city of Philadelphia if you won't walk a block? See, what we have done, you see what I'm saying? Be witness to me in Jerusalem. We think Jerusalem is just this church. So I just need to be witnesses to Christ here. I'm not ready to go to Samaria and Judea and the ends of the earth. I'm not prepared for that yet, God. I'm just going to work in my Jerusalem. You haven't even walked a block. You haven't even walked two steps. And you think you're being an influence and you're being a witness to Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? We have a problem because the people of God won't even testify of what he's doing in the house. So how are you going to be witnesses to him a block down the road? Two blocks. Three blocks. Four blocks. Hit me up when you hit 49 square miles. Does anybody want to figure that out, what 49 square miles from this area is? Because I'm curious to know. I'm pretty sure it encompasses the shore. Pretty close, right? I would be willing to guess. You'd probably get right up to the cusp of Philly. Probably Trenton, Camden, of course. Who's going there? Do people not need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ in Camden right now? Do people need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ in Trenton? Probably. Do you think there are people down the shore that need to hear the gospel? Need to hear the testimony of what Jesus has done? Sure do. How many people have been to the shore so far? Did you share the good news of Jesus Christ while you were there? Don't answer that. Are you reading this 49 square mile area from your isolated four wall place, or do you have to move? Because you cannot reach anybody from a standing still position. You can only reach those who pass by you. And if you're waiting for the world to pass by you so that you can touch and reach out and transform lives, you seem to forget that there's this guy named Jesus who's in you and radiates from around you and that they don't want anything to do with. So if you're not going to infiltrate the darkness to transform and change lives, how are you going to be used by God to move mightily in that realm? Because they're not going to come to you. They're not going to come to you, church. We have focused so much on the outer regions as when we have to move, and we excuse our lack of movement as not needed because we believe we're still in Jerusalem. You haven't even started to explore the inner city of Jerusalem, let alone the new city of Jerusalem of 49 square miles. And hear me. If we have received power from on high, there's a word. It says, you shall be witnesses to me. What does shall mean? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So then the question then comes down to, did you receive power? Do you not have enough power in you? Has the power of God not moved mightily in your life? Do you not have the Holy Spirit? No. Nobody's going to deny the Holy Spirit, right? Because what do you, what is that? That's bad news bears, right? No blaspheming the Holy Spirit in the house? Okay, good. Thank God. So then it must be a lack of movement, right? It's just I'm not moving. That's the problem. Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, oh, you better say it if you believe it, because don't say it if you don't believe it. Here am I, send me. See, church, that's the problem. You're not going to move if you don't want to be sent. Because God's not going to violate your will. But when your will aligns with God's will, and you agree that, A, one, that you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you believe that you are going to be used to influence those areas, then by golly, you need to agree that he wants to send you, and you need to say, here am I, send me. Yes, Lord. It's not a lack of anything. It's you not wanting to participate. You don't lack anything. You don't want to participate. You want to spectate. You want to sit on the sidelines and watch God do things. You don't want to be there for God to do things. Guess what? Here's the news flash. You can't get mad at me now. He's not going to do things unless you're there. Because where is the power of God located? In you. He needs you. Can he do things without you? Sure can. Guess what he's going to do? Somebody else. Do you want to participate or not? You hear what God's saying? When we are in fear and in darkness, we won't participate in what God is doing. Not only that, but we then lack the faith to believe that he will show up when we do. We don't move forward with God because we limit his ability to grow us. And again, growth not maturity, growth not fruit, growth in your ability to move. That you can go. He is with you. Always to the end. Amen. But what do? We limit God. How do we limit it? We restrict how far we're going to go. Well, God, I only have this much gas. Well, God, I don't know. I can't afford to fill the tank after this. So if you really wanted me to go down here to be a witness to these people, how am I going to afford to put gas in my car so I can go to work the next day? Limit. I really don't think I'm supposed to go all the way down to here, blah, 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 fill in the blank, pick a state. Plus, I don't know how I'm going to get there. Planes are expensive. Can't drive it. Restrict, limit, restrict, limit. And what this does is this basically puts God into a box of boundaries that you have created that say, God, you can only work in here. Nothing further. Do you think God's going to follow that? God might still use you, but there's a problem. Eventually, you will find yourself in a spot where God's going to bring you to your knees and humble you because you have taken his place on the throne. And you have agreed with yourself of what you can do. You have not agreed with God and his infinite potential of what he can do. Be that unto your faith. Isaiah 40, 31. This is the key. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, here's the catch, church. If you believe that God can do the impossible, wants to use you, has filled you with power from on high, has anointed you, has given you a command to go, and you say, here I am, Lord, send me. Guess what? There is never going to be lack in anything you need to get to your destination, to do the things God has called you to do, period, end of conversation. That's it. There is nothing. Why? Because my Bible says so. And God is not man that he can lie. His word is truth. That's it. I agree with God's word when he says that I can mount up with wings like eagles. That means I can fly. Physically? No, he'll fly me there. I don't need to know how. That's what it means. Well, tickets are expensive. God shall provide. Amen? God will make a way. You have a testimony of that. Amen? He sent you. Right? You flew. You couldn't afford it. Right? Amen. They shall run and not be weary. Look, I'm sorry. I'm getting to that point where my knees start to hurt a little bit. I don't think I can run places, but if God says you can run, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to run, and I'm not going to be weary. I'm not going to be hurting because he's going to get me there, and it's going to be because he did it, not because of me. It's not by my strength, right? I can walk. I will not faint. I will move. I will not be hindered. I can go where God wants me to go. Nothing will stop me. Not even the gates of hell will prevail. Do you believe that, church? Don't believe it because of my faith. Believe it because of your faith. Be that unto your faith. Amen? You have to believe it. Don't, remember I said, don't say those words. Here I am, God, send me. Unless you are ready. Because when he says go, you better go. Right? And you better go where he tells you. But the key to this is waiting on the Lord. And you might be like, wait a minute here. I'm seeing this weird paradox here. You want me to move, but you want me to wait. You want me to move, but you want me to wait. What's catch 22, right? What do I do? Do I move or do I wait? What's the problem? Oh, there is a problem. Because see, what we have is another issue. People go, here I am, Lord, send me. All right, I'm gone. Where are you going? Where are you going? Here I am, Lord, send me. Okay. Send me is the key. That requires you to receive what? Directions. Here I am, Lord, send me is not, okay, I'm gone, bye. Where God's going. Hey. Got your keys, and where are you going? Well, you said you're going to send. Did I tell you where to go? Where are you going? When are you going? Oh, seasons, seasons, church, seasons. Nothing like packing your bags for warm weather, and you're going north. Whoops, you're going to be mighty cold. Oh, I'm a man, I can take it. Sure, okay. He's going to send you up further north. Let's see how long it takes for you to travel north before your man card gets revoked. Don't tell me God won't. God will. He'll have you witnessing the penguins and polar bears. Till your face adjusted. Waiting on the Lord is the key to moving. When we don't wait on the Lord, we do it in our strength. And it's according to our will, to what we plan, and to what we purpose. When you wait on the Lord, it's in His strength, according to His will, and His plans, and His purpose. When we don't wait on the Lord, we want to do it in our strength, so that we are the ones who receive the glory. Let's be clear here. God moved mightily this morning. God may still want to move after I'm done talking. God may want to move right now in spite of my stupid voice. Guess what? If He wants to, I'm not stopping Him. But it isn't because of me that anything is happening here. Understand, church? This is not because I am doing something. It's because He is. It's because of Him, not because of me. The reality is He wants you to give Him glory for what He has done when you couldn't. When you can't anymore, God does. And that's what He wants. You're like, well, I don't like that. Well, then suffer some more. Because the more you suffer, the more you will give glory when you say, I'm done. Because then when you're done, God does. And from that moment on, when you have given up control, you have given Him your keys, you have said, I am done playing now, I'm ready to get on board with your plan. Amazing things start to happen. Everywhere you plant your feet. Do you believe, church? Do you believe what God is saying? Not what I'm saying, what God is saying. Because I can tell you, everything I have written down here, that doesn't matter. Those scriptures do though. And if you take those scriptures and you read them and you let them plant something really unique and special in your heart, the end result of those scriptures are going to be very simple. Ready? What have you been up to? Where is God in that? Are you ready to let Him do it? Do you agree with Him that He wants you to do it? Are you going to get on to His plan to do it? And do you trust Him to supply all of it throughout it? Do you? Because that's the scriptures. That was it. What's that? TLDR? Right? Too long. Didn't listen. Shouldn't be read. TL, semicolon, DL. Too long. Didn't listen. Pastor rambled. Okay, fine. Cliff notes. Read those scriptures. Same message still at the end of the day. If, team, you come up. I want to encourage you today. If the word hasn't already encouraged you, if the scripture hasn't impacted you enough yet, I want you to hear the voice of the Lord. I want you to hear what He has to say. Because each and every one of you has a plan and a purpose. It's called a destiny. Do you believe that? You have a destiny? Do you know it? Do you know what He's called you to do? Do you know what your plan is? Do you know what your purpose is? Do you believe that God has that for you, and that in every aspect of that plan and that purpose God has for you, He will supply? But you need to go. Does that mean I have to leave this church? No, not saying that you need to leave this church. But I am saying that you need to go where God's sending you. Amen? Sometimes God's going to send you on recon. What's recon, sir? Going to get information, right? Spy the land, right? He may send you on see. I'm going to choose this one. Infiltration. What is infiltration? Going into enemy territory, getting behind enemy lines, right? Yep. He may send you on a recovery mission. What's a recovery mission? Getting people out, rescuing assets. Do you hear what God's saying? Do you not know you are the army of God? He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a mission. He has given us that mission, right? What is the Great Commission? Go. 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 Lay on hands. Preach the gospel. Be witnesses to me. Amen? Is this not what he's told us to do? Make disciples. If you're waiting for that disciple to come to you, you'll be waiting a long time. Go to them. Go find them. But you got to know your plan. You got to know the purpose. And if God wants to tell you that plan and that purpose and you're ready to hear, then come forward. Come hear what God has to say. It isn't going to be because of me. If you're going to wait up here for me to come and tell you, that's not going to happen. I'm not the prophet. The prophet has got a word for you. Receive what the prophet says. Amen? Believe that God wants to tell you and come up here and receive what God's saying. Come receive your marching orders. Don't be afraid. You might be surprised at what he wants you to do. Amen? Come let him blow your mind. Come let him amaze you. But don't stand there waiting for him to come to you. The "here I am, God, send me" part starts with you coming. It starts with you coming to meet him. Amen? Floor's open.